Hey, I'm Rita.
And I'm Lee.
And welcome to the Me For Her podcast.
We are two gay girls living polar opposite lives on different sides of the country, here to talk shit and share with you our experiences between 20 and 30.
Welcome back to the Me For Her pod, episode 23, and boy, do we have a good one for you. We've got a Me For Her first. We have our first international guest on the show today, Lee. Who have we got?
Yeah, well, one of them's partly international, one of them's partly not. She's actually raised in Australia, born in America, I do believe, though, and is not so recently, but very soon to be married to her fiancé, Jess, who is American. And they live in Texas, I believe. Jess is a very shredded wrestler, and Charlotte has become a very shredded fitness freak herself. And we're very excited to have you along to talk about everything long distance and getting married and life in the States. Welcome, gals.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So just tell us a little bit about yourselves. We were just talking sort of before we started recording about, you know, Charlotte's job. But tell us a little bit about yourselves. Jess, we'll start with you. Just what you like to do, what do you get up to, what you do for work, your favorite cheat meal.
I was actually born and raised in Iowa. And then I had an opportunity to coach down here. So I moved 4 years ago down to Texas. And now I'm a coach and I teach PE here in the States.
What do you coach?
I coach wrestling. And
it's not that WWE. Like it's
no,
legit.
No. It's like you have to look up some videos like freestyle wrestling and folk style wrestling. I coach folk style, but I also wrestled in college, but we wrestle a different style in college, which is called freestyle wrestling. So you'll have to get on some videos so that you don't think it's WWE. We're not like fake punching each other in the face.
I feel like a lot of Australians would assume that because wrestling's not huge here. Let me just tell you, my grandfather, my mum's grandfather, he's Greek, and he was the Greek Olympic wrestling coach. So I pretty much am an Olympic wrestler.
Basically. Yeah, that's
and I came out like 10 pounds. I was huge. So I basically came out a wrestler. I was just born to be like a sumo wrestler, though.
I was super disappointed when she was telling me that it's not a norm at all. And like in Australia, wrestling is so scarce.
I didn't even know what it was.
No, she came. First time she came to visit me in America. I had two events the same week that she was here. So she had to come just sit through these high school wrestling events. And one of them ended up being 14 hours. Poor girl.
Oh my God.
Full service, nothing. So she was just like sitting there in the stands watching high school wrestling that she didn't even completely understand.
That was like dedication. I don't know what else is.
Yeah. Come on. That's like the test. That was your test, Charlotte.
It's actually pretty fun to watch. I do enjoy it.
It's pretty simple once you learn the basics, but
maybe you need to bring it over to Australia, Jess, and like introduce it to
all the lesbians would totally get around that. All we have is lesbian like oil wrestling,
mud wrestling.
A world tour of lesbian oil or mud or whatever wrestling. Brought to you by Jess from Texas.
Not the same, I feel.
The only wrestling, because I've looked it up, the only wrestling you guys have, it's like a very small association, but also within MMA, because you guys have a great MMA following there, and there is a lot of like UFC fighters there. So I guess that would be an in.
We're just a little bit behind.
Bring it on. We'll cheer you on.
All right.
And Charlotte, tell us about you. I know you were born in America, and so you're actually allowed to be there, like legally.
I am. When I first moved here, they were like, how did you get your green card? I'm trying to do it right now. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm really sorry. I actually am just very lucky. So I was born in Minnesota. My mom's Australian. My dad's American. And when I was like nearly eight, we all moved back to Australia. So I basically fully grew up in Australia.
Yeah.
Melbourne. Did some hot prime time in Perth.
I was going to say, don't leave out Perth.
Go Melbs.
I do love Perth. We have spoken about Perth maybe down the track again. I like Perth.
Perth is amazing. I think that you've got to appreciate it for what it is. Like, obviously, every state's got its pros and cons. Our traffic is nowhere near as terrible as Melbourne's. And our beaches are 1,000% better. So, yeah, that's just my little plug for Perth.
Why don't you guys go to Perth via Melbourne and, like, just spend a couple of days here? You never know. Whet your appetite a little bit. Remember what it's like. Big city.
I do like Melbourne. Mm-hmm.
In the whole 3 days you were there.
Mm-hmm. So what were you doing in Melbourne, and what did you have a desire to move back to America before you met Jess, or did you meet Jess and sort of go, okay, this is something I'm going to think about?
No, I didn't plan on it. So I met Jess, and honestly it was within, what, like 2 or 3 weeks.
What were you doing there first?
Oh, okay, first. I worked for Levi's.
Yep.
I was a
love Levi's.
Yeah. So I worked for Levi's. That was just in Melbourne. All Perth, whole life was hospo. And then worked Levi's. And then I actually applied for Vic Police.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting rejected like 7 months down the track. And that happened the same time as I met Jess. So when I got rejected, I kind of just said, fuck it. And went all into this America adventure.
Awesome.
I'm on Team Melbourne for you guys to future move to Melbourne, by the way. But moving right along, this is probably our first question, our favourite question, sorry, to ask our guests. But when did you both realise that you were into girls? Sha, we'll start with you.
I think I was like 11 or 12. I was pretty young. I knew it the whole time, except grew up in a super religious family. Went to private girls' schools where you used to get teased if you were gay. Mm-hmm. So definitely venture that way. Went to a Catholic school year 11 and 12. Dated guys because it was normal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically straight out of school I was like, what's up? This is really me, guys. I was pretty young. I think the first time I remember I was in a tent with my best friend Maddie, and we were in our backyard at my house, and she invited this guy over, and it freaked me out because she was like getting in our tent, and it freaked me out.
Wait, were you in there while they were getting freaky in a two-man tent?
So, like, she invited the guy for me, and it freaked me out, so I went back and
Yeah, that would have freaked me out too. It's fine.
Yeah, I was pretty young.
Yeah, I was like high school age. I think like the first time that I like realized it, I was drunk at a party, probably my junior or senior year, and I kissed a girl just like jokingly. It was like our friends, and we were kissing. I was like, oh. But it was never something that I ever thought I would look into, because – I have a gay aunt actually, and just hearing the way that my dad and some of my family members spoke about her, I was like, fuck, I never want people to speak about me like that.
Mm.
Or I just didn't like the connotation of it, and I was like, nope, absolutely not. But then I got to college and the American college experience and learn to just like accept myself and love myself and not be so worried about what other people thought, I guess. And I had my first few relationships, and yeah.
I know that in certain parts of America, Jess, it's culturally very different and viewed very differently. Did that play a role as well where you were living?
Well, Iowa is extreme, like small town feel. We're basically all corn and farms. There's not a lot there. But yeah, I would say it's very heterosexual, and this is how it is. Like, But Iowa was one of the first states to legalize gay marriage. I think my aunts were like the first 100
wow.
people married in Iowa, which was pretty rad. But yeah, it's definitely not a norm. We had like one gay kid in the whole school that was like out in high school and extremely flamboyant, and everyone had a very harsh opinion of him, and it was very
yeah.
It wasn't like, no, you didn't want to be associated with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that times have changed a bit now and it's a bit different for kids growing up in the high school yeah. system now about their sexuality?
Well, absolutely. In the school that I work at currently, yes. Like last year I had 6 transgender students in my PE classes, which was cool. And like they were out and comfortable with it and treated fairly. And there's a bunch of gay students that I'm just aware of because they're out in high school and it's okay. Now, I don't know about like in my small town school of Knoxville, if that would be the same sort of culture, but down here, they've definitely created like a safe space for those kids to feel comfortable being themselves.
Which
at that
is surprising
age.
Because Texas is quite behind. Like,
yeah.
It's super religious, and like we still get looked at. We still get comments all the time. People get taken aback when I say that I have a partner who's a female. Like, people still get uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Texas just, they didn't choose to legalize it. They just conformed to it because everybody else did.
I see.
Not Texas.
Yeah, but I think, like, with the times, they have to, like, they can't be that, like, that backwards.
No.
They have to change as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And am I correct in assuming that your families are all, like, on board, completely fine, supportive?
Yeah.
Now they are.
Yeah.
It took my parents a little bit, but they got there in the end.
And did they know? Did they know about any previous partners, Shah, or was Jess the first sort of real one? Yeah.
Gotcha. No, they did. They did. One, but they love Jess. And Jess has been more involved. Like,
yeah. I know. It's funny. Like, if me and Taylor ever split, touch wood, I think my family would accept her and not me. Like, they'd get rid of me. I think if they had to choose, like, gun to head, I think they'd be like, oh, we'll keep her because she's the mother of, like, their children, but, like, we'll keep a distance.
Close second, Tay.
Yeah, we'll have Tay around. Yeah. She's more useful, like she's more hands-on, like around the house. Oh, that's awesome. And I think I know this story just briefly because, Charlotte, you've told me, but how did you guys meet?
One day Charlie just slid in my DMs and it was, like, the dumbest.
Yes.
It was just like, on one of my stories, and I didn't get very many messages back then, so I like clicked on it and I'm like, and I'm like, Australia, I'm just interested, because I feel like everyone in America is like, like, we have this view of Australians, like, just these hot people with great accents that live on the beach, hang out with kangaroos and beer, and their life is the greatest.
So that's like, pretty accurate of a lot of yeah. Australians. Yeah.
So I just accepted, or I followed her back, and then we just started conversation that day. And at one point she was like, can we FaceTime? She thought it was a catfish or something. And I was like, yeah. I had the day off and she, so.
But side note, like, I had been following Jess for like 2 years. Like, I knew she was in a relationship. I knew she went through. I knew she didn't have a relationship anymore because I was following her for a fitness page for like 2 years prior. And then, yeah, later that day we were FaceTiming. And then
now you're engaged.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it all moved pretty fast as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm very much like a – well, firstly, we went through some like big things the same time in 2018. Like, we both ended relationships that were long term. We both lost a grandparent like basically at the same time. Wow. So we both kind of had like fuck it mentality. And I was very much a fuck yes or fuck no. So you can't casually date someone on the other side of the world. So it's either you're all in or there's no point doing it.
Absolutely.
And my mom actually was like, well, why don't you just move there? So my mom actually put that idea in my head, which was wild.
Wow.
Well, I think for you, like, given that you've got an American passport, like, really, it was also a matter of, like, what's the worst that can happen? You go and it doesn't work and you move home. You're Australian and, like, you've got an American passport. So, really, like, I know it sounds extreme, like you're moving countries, but it's not like, you know, with a green card, it's a lot harder, a lot more effort. For you, it's literally just getting on a plane and giving it a shot. And
yeah, like the worst thing that could happen is it didn't work.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
I would have been exactly the same. Like, I'm exactly like you, Charlotte. Like, I'm from the beginning, I either know if there's something there or there's not, and I move quickly. Taylor and I have lived together our whole relationship, pretty much the whole 8 years, because by default we moved in together. And yeah, I was in the first like week, I was like, kids, like, are they on the cards? And she was 21 and I was 22. But I had that conversation very early because I was like, I'm not going to waste my time. So I can
learn to ask. We were super blunt too. Like she said at the very beginning, we're like, what do you want in a relationship? Like, do you want kids? Do you want this? Do you want that? Mm-hmm. And it was like those big things that you normally wouldn't have spoken of so early in a relationship, but that like all we had was our words. We had no.
So true. You
know, and it was like, well, I want to know what you want because I want to see if this is actually something I'm going to keep investing my time and energy in.
Totally. So, guys, how long did it actually take? Because, I mean, there's a whole lesbian U-Haul joke, you know, 2 weeks going rape. But, like, how long – when did you guys actually decide that it was the right time to move to the same country?
In November. And then she visited January. Mm-hmm. And then I went there for spring break in March. And then she moved to the States in June.
Whoa.
So it all happened
within, like, 7 months. Yeah.
But like the time we spent together, I came here, it was a week. And then she came to Australia, it was a week. So we had only spent
2 weeks together.
2 weeks out on travel, 2 weeks together in person. And then I literally packed up my whole life.
I rate that. I mean, I think, are you really a lesbian if you haven't had a long distance relationship? I feel like they're super common. Like I've been there, done that. Lee did it super briefly. I think it's super common because you almost find friends or meet people from interstate and it's like, it's exciting, you know, you meet a whole new bucket of people that you never otherwise would have met.
Mm-hmm. And was it important for you, Charlotte, because we actually have a mutual friend, Reitz as well, and they are now living in America and they had an American partner prior to the partner they've got now. And she said, like, before I sort of consider making the move, I'd like you to come see where I live. Like, I'd like you to come make the effort to meet my family sort of thing. And I don't know if that was important to you, but the partner, I think, declined. I don't know, maybe for work. I'm not saying that they did it, like, in a nasty way. But was it important for you that Jess come to Australia?
Yeah. Especially my parents are super, like, straight. They've always been strict. And their approval, especially because it took a little bit for them to be okay with how I was, like not only just me being gay, but like I travel and I'm not educated and I have tattoos. Like I'm so different to my four other siblings that having her at least come to Australia and my parents be like, yeah, we like her.
Yeah.
Mm. That was originally the plan though. Like originally I was like, I'll come there in March. I'll meet you in March because I have a whole week off from school and work, whatnot. So after you got denied from the police academy, you're like, well, I already took a few weeks off of work, so I'll just fucking come now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Amazing. I definitely think, and it's also for your family to put a face to the name, like the person you're moving countries for, it's sort of nice and a bit comforting for them to know who it is. I think that's cool. And really
good. Yeah. That's super helpful.
Mm-hmm. What was the hardest thing about long distance? Because I know, Charlotte, I've been following you on Instagram and you had like a countdown on and I can only imagine like it's quite hard to be so far away from the person you love given you've only spent a little bit of time together. So what did you – like was there anything that got to you both and almost like created not tension but really like was a bit of a boiling point for you both?
I never really got to that point.
No, it was never at that point. I think just the time – difference of in Australia and like we had this small window of like we would always have these crazy hours because I would stay up late at night to speak to her when she was getting up or vice versa. And like just making that extra time so that we could communicate. Mm-hmm. So when she like finally was here, it was like, now we have a similar schedule, and it wasn't like waiting for, you know, looking at your phone like, shit, when's she going to wake up? Can't wait to speak to her.
Mm.
You know?
And that was probably the worst part. Like, I was never really one to be constantly on my phone. And I kid you not, that phone went everywhere with me that whole time, because I didn't want to miss anything, or I didn't want to miss a phone call or a text. And plus for like in the gap between after she had come to Australia and that we had like a 3 month.
Yeah.
It was about 3 months before I moved here. After we had like physical touch that we hadn't had.
Yeah.
And then having to wait for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the hardest things, actually.
Mm-hmm. Did you just keep busy and just work?
Yeah, I picked up another job. So I was working ridiculous hours.
Yeah.
And I like totally absorbed as much with my family as I could. Like I wasn't going out very much. I wasn't seeing his friends, like my friends as much. I was trying to spend as much time at home. And I was lucky when I moved back from Perth, I moved in with my parents. So I made a point to be home every night. I had dinner with my parents basically every night. I spent time with my brothers who I didn't really spend too much time with.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a conscious effort to do as much as I could before I left, because I knew time would probably be longer between seeing each other, which now it has been. Time
it's been put back a lot longer than we anticipated.
Yeah.
Well, my next question, I feel like you've a bit answered this already, but what do you miss the most about Australia?
The food culture.
Yeah.
And my family, obviously my family.
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were going to say. But I was going to say, besides your family, because you've just. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. So I've been to America a few times, and there is no comparison in our coffee. None. It's terrible.
Every time her mom is like, I'm sending you guys a package, what would you like? I'd be like, please have her send us coffee.
Yeah. I can't believe how bad it is compared to here.
Yeah. I mean, we go to like rip-off places like Starbucks where the coffee's shit, but they charge like $7 for a coffee, which coffee's pretty expensive in Australia, but it's good.
Mm.
It's good coffee.
Yeah.
So would you say like obviously besides family, like the coffee and food?
The food, just the culture is different. Like, I don't know if it's just because it's where I am right now and Texas is south and barbecue and fried food. And obviously we don't follow that kind of lifestyle in that kind of food. So, and everything is a chain here. There's no uniqueness.
Yeah.
There's a few on the walls, but they're few far in between.
But like basically everywhere you go to each different suburb in Australia, and they have a cute little cafe or a bar. Everything's more eclectic. Here it's just like, we're going to give you big plates, we're going to give you cheap food, and we're going to give you the exact same service.
Have you guys been to Arizona?
We have.
Yeah.
They're amazing there. Their food is amazing. My sister was living in Scottsdale. And in Phoenix I found the food was amazing and all really like good, nurturing, like great organic food. And I was surprised because the first time I went, all you hear about America is fried food, like shitty fried food. And then I went and I was like, I'm eating amazing food in Arizona. And even other places I've been to, I haven't been to Texas, would love to. But, I found Arizona had really amazing organic food.
Yeah, it's fun.
I feel like you've already sort of alluded to this, the answer to this question, but given that, you know, Jess, your Instagram handle's Fit Like Fresh, right? So you both love fit lifestyle. You got a bit of a following. You guys are like an ultimate gym couple, fit as. So would you ever consider moving back to Australia and living here?
Yeah, it's
obviously
been a
with Charlotte.
She'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna find I don't need you.
No, that's been something that we've spoken about a few times.
It is a hot topic.
Yeah, I'm totally open to it. I'm not like solidified here. I don't feel like this is the place that I want to spend the rest of my life. That's for sure. So I'm down to go.
If that's the case, I'm not sure, given you're from, you lived in Texas, and I've seen it's been quite cold there recently, Melbourne is not the place for you. Like Queensland even, because it's colder, way more, it's colder more often in Melbourne, and like it rains.
Dude, they just said it was minus 15 degrees. Melbourne gets to like 3 and that's our worst.
Yeah, but
I think you can handle
that's
fucking
not the
Melbourne.
Problem. That's not the problem. And everyone in Melbourne will even admit this. It will go raining in the morning, sunny, thunderstorms, 48 degrees, which is really hot, all in one day. It's unbearable.
Mm-hmm. It's not but unbearable.
The weather in Texas and Melbourne is actually pretty comparable. When I first moved here, I was like, wow, the seasons are just as, like, they fluctuate just as much as they do.
It's just super humid here.
Yeah, the heat is different. Yeah. Like, it gets hot here and it gets colder here. But the summers are really long. And Jess is from buttfuck Iowa, which is, like, -100, I swear. Like, it's cold.
Where I went to college, it's like the very tip of Iowa, and it was like 11 miles from the Minnesota border. We'd have like months of negative degree weather, and I remember just like walking to the field house to go to practices and stuff, and I was like, my fucking face hurts. My face shouldn't hurt just because of the air. Like, it was ridiculous.
Wow. I feel like just from following you guys, like, it'd be more like a Brisbane and Gold Coasty vibe, because it's a really nice beach. It's on the East Coast, so it's closer to America. And you could open a gym and just live la vida.
I've never lived by a beach. Like, I've been
in
a landlocked
beach properly.
But when you guys go away, like I seen that you went to, where was it, like Mexico? And you enjoy the beach though, don't you? Like,
oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
I'm getting a Gold Coasty vibe. Just come to me when you're ready to move, and I'll find the perfect spot.
We are really open. I would be like,
yeah,
fuck it, let's try a new place. I'm so down anywhere, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, we can make friends.
Yeah, hell yeah, that's awesome.
And I feel like you'd get a job anywhere, Jess, because people be like, oh, American. Like, yes, you've got experience that we don't have here. Let's hire her. Honestly.
I've actually asked her a few times. I'm like, I need to start like looking at jobs and trying to figure out how I actually go about the process, because like 2 to 5 years would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Timeline that we're living in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think you'll be fine. Honestly, you've got the accent. Everyone's like, you're in.
And the abs too.
Yeah, I was about to say, just, you know, walk into a gym, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And have good abs. Feel my bicep. Hire
me. Tell us about your wedding. It's coming up very soon. How's it all going? Where is it?
So originally we were going to fly back to Australia to have like a big get-together celebration and wedding, and COVID happened.
Thank you.
So that is not happening anymore.
Yeah.
So
that was still going to happen. But I was like, I still want to get married, because we have some other things coming up relatively soon that we both decided we wanted to be married for that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to, you know, think about kids without being married. It's just not what we wanted to do. So we said, well, we're going to elope. We're going to elope on the same day we set for our Australian wedding, which is the 20th of March. And I found, just on Instagram, because that's where I like to find all the cool things.
Like Jess.
Right? I found this like cute little house that the girl who owns it, she actually grew up in the house, and she gutted it and turned it into a big studio space that primarily it's used for photo shoots.
Yeah.
She built this like sweet glass house at the back, and I was like, let's get married there. Mm-hmm. So we just hired a photographer. We have our celebrant, and that's it. You don't need witnesses in Texas.
Amazing.
Because I just feel that if we can't have everybody there, I don't want anyone there, because that's not fair.
We were gonna have my best friend come. She lives like 40 minutes away from us, but then it was like, oh shit, if we have her come, and then our siblings are upset, or my parents are upset, or then we couldn't have my parents come and not her parents, and it was like, fuck it, we're not inviting anybody. It's just gonna be like a super accident. Yeah,
just for us.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's beautiful. That's so cool. Jess, I have to ask, given that the last two guests that we had on, is So I know you don't have a maid of honor or a best man or whatever, but if you did, are either of your two maid of honor or best mans your exes? Because that's a stereotypical lesbian thing.
Really? I don't think it is a stereotypical lesbian thing. I think that's very rare. I think that those people were an exception. I do think the stereotype is more that lesbians stay really close friends with their exes sometimes.
That's true.
Bridesmaid, that's next level. That's next level.
That is next level. No, nope, that's not for me.
For me.
That's a, you know, you made those mistakes in the past and just move on.
I rate that. That's cool, guys.
Shout out to your ex.
Yeah, shout out to your ex. So what's plans for you guys in the next, say, you know, 3, 4, 5 years? You know, what's next for you guys after your wedding?
We've got a cool trip planned to Utah for like a honeymoon hiking experience because we're not doing – I'm in the middle of wrestling season now, so I'm actually missing 2 duels, which is kind of a big deal. So it was like we can't honeymoon right after because of the fact that I'm in wrestling season. Mm-hmm. So this summer, a big hiking trip. And then besides that –
kids are pretty close.
Kids will be a big topic in the future, yeah.
I'm going to change my last question to a question to sort of touch on what you just spoke about. Charlotte, you and I spoke about this on Instagram. I know that kids is definitely something you both want. Is that something you're willing to touch on? You know, who's going to carry first or who's going to carry it all? Because you know my situation. I'm the only carrier in this party. And, you know, how many?
I do not want to carry. I don't have any desire to carry.
That's fine.
So yeah. I'm going to. I've always wanted to anyway. I've been ready for a really long time. But going through the motions, in terms of how many, shit, I want a lot. But I might change my mind after.
One.
Two.
One.
One.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, kids, definitely going to try and we want to get back to Australia. I do. It just does. Especially the current climate in this country right now. I don't know how much you guys see and I don't know how dramatized it is on the TV, but
especially with her job,
yeah,
like and wanting to possibly be a police officer in the future, like in the States, that would just stress me out every day.
Yeah,
that she would like,
yeah,
am I getting, you know, after
right now, if I wanted to, I could probably find somewhere where I could do it, but like it's truly not worth it right now. They don't look at police like heroes like they do military and. I wish that it was at least even because then maybe there'd be a little bit more respect around here because in my eyes, they do the same thing. They just protect different areas. So in order for me to do what I want to do, I think we have to get back to Australia.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people, I know my sister and I know other people that have lived in the States. And when you've lived in Australia, it's almost like this, it's almost like you're missing home, like home, Australia being so much smaller. And being Australia, the common theme is always just like it's a place that they want to raise their kids because it's like a home. And I guess having your childhood be predominantly in Australia, you've seen the value of growing up here, I guess. And I'm not putting down America. A lot of people obviously love, you know, what that has to offer. But I think if you've been raised in Australia, it's hard to see anywhere else as a home for your children almost.
And I can't even pinpoint a certain reason. And we have this conversation and I'm like, there's just something about Australia that I just don't get here.
And that, like, from my viewpoint, like, I don't know what she's talking about. I'm like, sweet. Like, I'm just like open to it because I'm like, I moved from everything that I ever knew and moved to Texas and realized, like, I can move wherever I want to go. And have new experiences. And that's why I'm like, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be super fun to have a new experience and live somewhere else.
Plus, I miss Bali being my neighbor.
Yes. How good's Bali?
Yeah. That's Australia.
Yeah.
Extra state.
Yeah. Well, we would be more than happy to have you guys over for sure. But just one final question for you guys. Any advice to anyone in the middle of a long-distance relationship or considering it, any advice to those guys?
Communication is so important.
Hmm.
Especially at the start when we were long-distance, you almost sometimes feel like you might be oversharing, but you need to remember that you have to communicate those things because your partner can't, they can't get anything else from you. All they have is words. Mm-hmm. So communication and just getting onto it, like just moving as soon as you can, because long distance does suck.
It does suck.
Yep.
It does.
Yes?
I don't have anything else. Yeah, I don't know. That was shit.
No, just, I love that. That's awesome.
It was awful. It was awful, and I never want to do it again.
I'm thankful for the experience, though, because like I got to know Charlotte on such a different level than had we met in person. Like, we wouldn't have just spoken every single thing, you know. It would have been like, I don't know, we wouldn't have had that like deep of a connection, I think.
Absolutely.
But also realizing, like, if it's not going to work, don't force it to work just because you're already doing it.
Mm.
And you're lucky that it works, but don't not try it if you think it's not going to work. But if it's not working, then
if it didn't work, like, shit, that would have been easy. Just like stop texting them.
Ghosted you.
You can. You're in another country. Mm. It's not like your friends.
That's why I loved her at first, because I thought she ghosted me. Like, at one point, she just got super drunk and like lost her phone one night, and I was like, all right, she's just not feeling it anymore. Maybe she met someone else. I like legit had a bit of a panic at one point, and I was like, all right. And then I couldn't be that like super crazy obsessed person that just like texts her a million times. So I just like waited. I'm like, shit. Am I going to get a text?
That's so strategic, Charlotte. Not that you did it on purpose, but like, it made her realize she wanted. But
she said that too.
I did.
How is this not a question? Also, I don't know how we haven't asked who said I love you first, and talk us through the proposal.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Jess said I love you. I kind of like insinuated that I had something to say, but I basically said like, I want to say it to you in person when I see you in January. And
hint.
It was my Christmas Eve. She just said it on FaceTime, and I was like, what?
You're like, I'm just waiting to see you. I'm not saying it back. I'm just waiting to see you.
Thank you.
I knew that instantly. I was speaking to her for a few days, and I went to see my sister, and I was like, I think I've met the love of my life. And she was like, you're an idiot, basically. Like, that's never going to work. And I was like, yeah, you watch, it will work.
Yes.
And the proposal.
Okay, so we were, like, planning these at the same time. Like, we had spoken about it, and, like, it wasn't, like, a huge shock thing that I think some proposals are. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about what we wanted, like, when we were long distance and whatnot, but I think it was spring break again. Mm-hmm. So spring break prior, when I went to Australia, I had a great time. I was like, we should plan another spring break trip. So that's when we made the Mexico reservations and planned to go there for a week. And then I decided I want to do it in Mexico on a beach, because Charlie loves beach, talked about it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I had planned that out. And
I beat her to it by 6 days. So when it was literally the night after she left from when she came to Australia. I was like super emotional, and I was like thinking about how I was going to propose. And I was like, I'm going to make it like a year long proposal video. So I made this whole video that was like 1 second from every day, basically for nearly whole, like 12 whole months. And
She had this like same cardboard.
I've seen sign. Similar. I love that. If you've got the patience, oh my God, good.
And when I was still doing long distance, I kind of wrote some long, it was like a little journal for me that I gave to her when I proposed.
Yeah.
So she obviously still has that.
Well, and within the video, it's like clips from all of her family members, some of my family members, closest friends. And it's like, Jess, say yes. And like these cute little clips, like
oh.
her most adorable thing.
That's so yeah. cute. Love that.
But 6 seconds. Next week actually is our.
Yeah,
the 4th of March I proposed, the 10th of March she proposed.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to Mexico with the ring, Charlotte, and you also had a ring, Jess?
No, yeah. So I did it before Mexico.
She did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we left 3 days later or something.
And then,
I hid her ring in a GoPro case.
I was carrying it.
She carried it around the whole time. You can't just have it in a box like randomly. She'll like open it and be like, what the fuck is what?
Which is wild because you can't hide anything from me.
Like, no.
I have.
Well, clearly you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was strategic about it. There's like this pad foaming in this case and they just cut it out and hid the box underneath. So even if she opened the GoPro case, she wouldn't have seen it.
That's clever. That's clever.
Yeah. But she owes me another Mexico trip because she was really sick.
Oh my God.
So she like proposed to me and then she's like, by the way, we have to go back to the hotel because
I was like sick. Yeah.
She was sick.
I was sick that whole day.
Like Bali belly sick.
I was like when you go to Bali and then you get sick and it just ruins your whole trip. That happened to my Danny and Mary Rita. Danny got sick the night before their wedding and was sick the whole day of their wedding in Bali.
Oh no.
And it was like, I even woke up the morning that we were leaving and I was like, I feel a little off. And so we get to the airport. I'm like, maybe it's just because it's super early. And I'm one of those people that needs 9 or 10 hours of sleep a night.
Don't have kids. Like, don't have kids.
And so we wake up, we get to the airport and I'm like, oh, let's have a beer. Start our vacation off right. And so we have a beer, then we get on the airplane and I fall asleep and I wake up in like this hot sweat. And I'm like, I'm going to vomit. So I go to the bathroom, vomit. And I did twice on the airplane. And by the time we got to Mexico, I was like, this is awesome. I thought it was possible. Yeah. No idea.
But well, we hope your wedding is a lot less traumatic and you guys are in good health.
I have one more question. And I think this is actually going to be very helpful to our listeners because Tay's actually said to me before, you should actually, if you get a guest on that's like her, you should ask them because I think that a lot of people would relate to it and I've just remembered. But can you tell us why you have no desire to carry and how long you've had no desire to carry?
I don't think I want to carry because of a few reasons. One, I've always been extremely fit. Like I've wrestled since I was in second grade and my body image, like for my self-confidence is definitely a thing. So I think gaining a bunch of weight and like being massive would not be good for my just mental health. And the whole thing, like I don't want to push a child out of my area and I don't want to. I like the fact that I'm flat chested, so I don't want to breastfeed or like do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the whole process is a turnoff to me.
Like, you also said that how you used to cut weight a lot.
Yeah. And I'm worried that like my babies would come out with like forearms or something because in college, like I would cut ridiculous amounts of weight. Like I was not nice to my body in college and like I weigh almost 130 pounds right now, and I was wrestling at 105 pounds.
I don't know college. What that is in kilos.
I was wrestling at 48 kilos, and I'm probably 65 kilos now. I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, conversion. Wow. Yeah,
it's pretty.
I haven't been 48 kilos since I was like one. Like no joke. Yeah. That wow. Okay, yeah. So you feel like maybe you've done some damage hormonally, or like.
I don't know.
What if I couldn't carry?
Oh, I don't know. I still don't think I'd want to.
Yeah. Mm.
Taylor was the same. We went to the
There's always adoption. Like,
we want
highly
we want
that
you
option.
To But yeah, I mean, there's other options, but like they said to us, we want you to do the test as well to Taylor. And like my tests had come back completely great, nothing wrong with them. And Taylor was like, why? And they were like, oh, because you're the other option. She was like, no, you're not hearing me. Just think of me as a male, basically. I am not carrying. Like that's not an option. So don't, and it's money, like it's to get money. And she was like, don't think of me as an option because I'm not. And we're not just going to do the tests. If Lee can't carry for any reason, we're not having kids, like this way. Mm. And it was, yeah. But Taylor's exactly the same, Jess, my wife. She, we met and she was like, I want kids, but I have to accept that I may not get them because I don't want to carry and I can't put that on someone. And I was like, wow, you have come to the right place because I want to carry. And but she just said, like, when I've spoke to her, she's like, I just don't get that desire, also like the breastfeeding, because you can actually manipulate your hormones to be able to breastfeed as well, even if Charlotte gives birth. So it's an option.
Really?
Yeah.
Jess is like, I'll pass, thanks.
Yeah, so she was like, no, she's got no desire. She's never had that desire, never had that maternal instinct. But as soon as like Oak was born, like she was naturally just stepped straight into motherhood. So it didn't affect her in any way, shape or form, like how she took to Oak. But yeah, she was exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. That's something that a few of my friends have asked, like, are you worried you won't have that bond? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't think it'll affect me.
No, you're there from the beginning. Like you've started the process together. You're there through the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Taylor and Oak are literally two peas in a pod. Like they, it's nurture over nature, and we fully believe that. And yeah, I don't think you have a problem. All right, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah,
thank you for jumping on. Oh. We'll make sure we post your Instagram handles in our episode show notes. And thank you so much to all your friends and followers. We've got an American audience because of you guys. So thank you so much. We love you. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, guys. And if you'd like to keep up with us, follow us on Instagram @MeForHerPod and like and subscribe.